welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church on this beautiful Palm Sunday. Indeed, beautiful. And whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time, we are so glad that you have found your way to this worshiping community. Check out your bulletin. There are announcements and also calendar of events, especially pertinent this week as we begin Holy Week. Notice the calendar there. We do worship together on Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday. Both of those services are at 7 o'clock. And for those early risers, Easter sunrise this morning, we will be worshiping together just out here in the Memorial Garden. That will be at 6 a.m. And for those of you who aren't quite so chipper at that time, we will have our celebration service at 10. A few announcements as we get going this morning.
Good morning. Our annual spring cleanup will be Saturday, April 29th. We start around 8:30 in the morning. Come for an hour all morning. Coffee, juice, and donuts will be available. We have tasks for all ages. If you have any questions, please see me, Roger Best, Mike Hasenlop, or any of the trustees. If that day doesn't work out for you and you still want to help, let us know. We've got several activities that can be done beforehand at your convenience. Thanks.
Thank you. And a note about the time that we will be spending outside in the upcoming weeks. Please take a look at your bulletin. Our Fusion Sunday, which is the last Sunday here in April, we are really turning things upside down and outside. Come ready to get dirty. We are going to be worshiping, learning, and serving starting at 10 a.m., and our hope is to spend a little bit of time in the dirt. I assure you, you are not going to want to miss this creative, engaging service that is being planned collaboratively with the Presbytery Earth Care team. And one note about worship today. Our introit this morning, our familiar theme for Lent this year, Were You There? We will be singing those two verses that are printed in your bulletin in unison. There will be an instrumental introduction. John will give us a good introduction on the organ when we're ready to come in and sing. You may remain seated during that time. And then the processional hymn following the call to worship, we are going to celebrate. So as the junior choir processes, make sure to have your palms and wave them, though do be mindful of your neighbor's eyeballs. All right. And now let us worship God together.
Thank you. Please stand as comfortable and able for the call to worship. Were you there when the Lord came humbled and mounted on a donkey?
We were there to spread our clothes on the road.
Were you there when Jesus entered into Jerusalem?
We were there waving branches in the air.
Were you there when creation shouted, "Praise the living King"?
Also there on Ash Wednesday when the palms were burned and made to mark us with our brokenness, the ways in which we fall short, and we bring all of that to God. Let us share together in the prayer of confession. Loving God, in the midst of parades, the laughter of children, and the joy of procession, we pause. We pause to remember that going up to Jerusalem cost Jesus his very life. So we come before you to confess that we are conscious of the way religious words and holy phrases can slip so easily from our lips yet fall flat in our lives. Forgive us when our faith is shallow and we aren't fully present in the moments that matter. Help us be here with one another, ourselves, and most importantly, with you. Believe the good news. God's steadfast love endures forever, and we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. All right, you guys want to come over here? You can bring your palms if you would like, and those fish banks. And at this time, all the children are welcome to come forward. And remember, any children that want to come forward and bring those fish banks, hey, guys, they're a little confused. Hey, I'm over here. Hi. Over this way. There we go. Come on. Still over here. Still over here. There we go. Hi, do you guys have your fish banks? If you have your fish bank, do you want to come set it up over here? Did someone leave it with their mom? You forgot yours. It's all right. Why don't we set it in the water? Can you set them in the water? There we go. There's lots of water. Come set them in the water. Perfect. Perfect. Everyone, nice job. I wanted to make sure that the fish could swim, right? Got to make sure those fish keep swimming. There's lots of water around for those fish to keep swimming, aren't there? All right, you guys did such a nice job. Let's try to keep our palms out of our neighbor's eye. There we go. Thank you. All through Lent, we have had different symbols to help us remember that we were there in different parts of the story that has led us to this coming week, which we call Holy Week. And we start Holy Week here at Palm Sunday. And so what is the sign or symbol that you guys have right in your hands right now that help us remember about Palm Sunday? What is it? The palms. Good job. Yes. And the people in all of the stories that remembered the parade when all the people came to welcome Jesus to Jerusalem, they waved palm branches. And that brought a lot of attention to Jesus. And throughout this week, we tell Jesus' story about how he died. And then on Sunday, we hear the story of how God's love is stronger than even death. And so we have lots of these signs and symbols to help us remember. What are the three that we have right here that help us remember Good Friday? What are these right here? The crosses, yes. And what is this right behind me that has the water coming out of it? Does anyone remember what that's called? Somebody. The baptismal font, that's right. And that water of the baptismal font helps us remember that God's love is for each and every one of us. So I hope you all know that the Holy Week story continues this week, and you all are also invited to come and worship with us and to hear the story. Can we pray together? Pray together. Dear God, thank you for your Son, Jesus, for in his life and his death and his coming back, love is stronger than anything. Amen. All right, you guys go to Sunday school, and if you forgot your fish bank, that's okay. You can bring it back next week, okay? And your mom or dad or grandma or grandpa can put it in the offering plate. And adults, if you brought fish banks with you, if you want to set them on the communion table right now, you can go ahead and do that. Hi. Can we put the fish so it can swim? Hmm. Over here? Nope.
Thank you.
First reading of the Word. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, His steadfast love endures forever. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them, and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteousness shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us. Beseech us, Lord. O Lord, O Lord, beseech us. You give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and He has given us light. Bind the festive procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give you thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever.
And our gospel reading from Matthew. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this: the Lord needs them, and He will send them immediately." And this took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble, mounted on a donkey, and a colt, the foal of a donkey." And the disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and He sat on them. Now a very large crowd had spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went ahead of Him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" And when He entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" And the crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." Were you there? Were you there when the crowds waved their palm branches and sang Hosanna? For even just a moment, we held our breath in hope. We were there. We were there before the crowd assembled, quietly discussing the latest news from our towns and neighborhoods. A friend lost his house because he couldn't pay taxes. A young woman was trying to find work because her husband had fallen ill. A young man was beaten, taken, arrested by the Roman army for reasons that are unclear.
There was building frustration and anger. We were so tired of people in high places treating us like we couldn't tell the truth from the lies, that our lives would be made better if we just went along with the leaders of the land. But all we saw was the selfishness, the greed, and the fear. Perhaps it would have been easier to be part of an uprising if it was just against those in power. Except friends and neighbors were turning their backs on their communities of faith and their families in pursuit of a buck or some political position and power. And still, there were so many that just stayed silent in fear or apathy. All so overwhelming. But there were those of us who felt like we just needed to do something. We were there when the stories of a coming Messiah swept through the crowds, and we thought maybe this time it would be different. He would be the promised one. The one to restore our freedom, our hope, our faith. So when we had heard the rumors, the murmurings from family to family, friend to friend, that he was indeed near, he was in Bethphage, and he had directed his disciples about the next steps, because he was coming. He was coming. When we were all gathered to celebrate the ways that God had granted us liberation once before. You see, the timing almost seemed to be too much, too perfect, a sign that for sure this was it. And of course, looking back, many thought this was just a spontaneous, unplanned, uncontrolled protest. But anyone who's been involved in these kind of things before knows better. For me, this was my first. You see, this prophet from Nazareth of Galilee, he had empowered the crowds before. He was this amazing teacher, an inspiring healer. His compassion touched everyone, including those no one wanted to touch. We were there in Galilee when he healed the lame and fed thousands. But this time, it was different. What was happening around us was more than just Jesus challenging religious leaders and preaching of God's kingdom come near. This time, it was about unmasking the charade that political might and wealth and standing on the backs of the least of these will have the final say. His word, when the word came of his impending arrival, we knew we needed to act quickly if we were going to send a clear message this time. We decided that lining the road was not enough. We needed a sign. A sign of protest. Palm branches. We sent the children up in the trees, the knives and swords we kept hidden from the Roman army. We trimmed at the branches near the ground and up high to distribute to everyone. But there wasn't time, and people just began stripping the leaves with their bare hands, those sharp edges, leaving tender hands sliced and bleeding. But with those palms tightly gripped in our hands, We knew that these were about more than just attracting attention or creating fanfare. These are a sign of our protest. Every generation has them, a fist raised, colorful rainbow flags, umbrellas, hands held high, pink hats and purple sashes. Palm branches were ours. Every year, we watched the Roman governor of Jerusalem and his cavalry stage a parade and ride into our city during Passover. They claimed our city with spears and bloodshed and taxes. They would come during our celebration of liberation, the Passover, as a reminder of their military might and power. That this was no longer our city. The marching of feet, the beating of drums, the clang of weapons, greeted by crowds of supporters. And they waved palm branches. Because after all, these were a sign of victory in warfare. And so when we had these palm branches gripped tightly in our hands, you could hear the snickering, the confusion from the onlookers. If these were the symbols of military victory, why was this man named Jesus riding in on a donkey? What king rides a donkey? We've struggled to see the vision he's put before us in the past. I myself have often wondered, isn't the only way to overturn corruption of an empire is to beat them at their own game? We've sat idly by for so long. Isn't now the time fight back? Why does he keep coming back to us and telling us of love, love that comes from God, love that feeds and heals and is a front even to our worst enemies? This love that is vulnerable and offensive, it never seems to fit our expectations, just like this whole king riding on a donkey. And maybe that's why the crowd's mood shifted. None of us expected this. This donkey with the baby colt trotting alongside. It was humorous, really. And people started to play along. The palm branches waved. Yes, in protest. But there was excitement and joy and hope. And then people began throwing their cloaks on the ground and their branches shouting, "Hosanna! Save us! Save us now!" I watched the branches rain down. They formed a carpet for him to ride on. And then, just as quickly as the protest parade began, it was over. And people just wandered back to their families and the celebrations of Passover, their meals. People discarded their palms on the side of the road. I took mine between my fingers, deciding whether I was going to throw it away with the others. Instead, I carefully folded the leaves. I tucked it into my pocket. I wanted to hang on to it for a while. It was a reminder, but I'm not powerless.
that even though I often feel like nothing I say or do makes a difference in this world, but because of him, something is different. Because of this man named Jesus, we all have this opportunity to participate with him in bringing about the kingdom of God, where the hungry are fed and those in prison are not alone, that the sick are cared for and the strangers are welcomed. A world where those who mourn are comforted and peacemakers are called the children of God. Lost in my thoughts, I just followed behind him into the city. And the energy at the time could only be described as turmoil. People weren't sure what to make of everything that had happened. They wanted to know, who is he? Who did he think he was, questioning all these people in power? Were you there when he went to the temple? He drove out all the people who were treating it like a marketplace. He overturned the tables. And then the most vulnerable among us, the blind and the sick and the lame and the children, they continued to chant, "Hosanna, save us, save us now." My hands gripped that folded palm in my pocket. I wondered if I should bring it out, support the children. They were so brave. But I hesitated. I hesitated, just like I did days later when I stood at the edge of the crowd after they arrested Jesus. I was there when they stripped him and placed the crown of thorns on his head. And they nailed the sign to the cross. "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." When he was hanging there, I reached my hand into my pocket and I removed the crushed and crumpled palm leaf. And I tried to smooth out the creases, but I knew there was no bringing it back to life. Our hopes were gone. He was dead. I was so excited to join the protest when the energy was high and there was excitement. But when given the opportunity to remain faithful in love and compassion, I clung to my safety and my silence. This palm branch was a sign that I would join this movement, that I would live differently. Then I know none of us can ever live perfectly, following Jesus wherever he leads. But I'm really struggling with where to go from here. And so I carefully placed the palm into the fire. Not because I'm giving up, but because hopefully these ashes will remind me that I do fall short, that I'm tempted by what's easy and comfortable, what benefits me first and foremost, that to protest the injustice and violence of this world and to respond in love will always be the more difficult road to walk. And then it's up to us to continue this protest that he began. Hosanna, save us now indeed.
We were there when we crucified our Lord.
That an usher can see you, and we'll bring a microphone to you. Let us know who you are, and just speak clearly into the microphone. So we go ahead.
Hi, Cherie Barrett. Prayers for my daughter Lauren. She and Craig, her husband, have been at Strong all night with abdominal pain, and they've run several tests. He just messaged me and said that nothing has come back yet. So his prayers that they figure out what's going on.
Prayers for Lauren as they try to figure out what's going on. So in case folks didn't hear, it was Lauren Henderberg who's in the hospital right now.
Kathy Wakeman, I'd like to ask for prayers for all the people of Syria who were killed by the chemical weapons and people around the world who are suffering.
Prayers for those in Syria, all those affected by violence and warfare.
Jeannie Bauman. I'd like to ask for prayers for our cousin, Kathy Glass. Her and her husband, Bob, were in the Caribbean on vacation, and sadly, Bob died by snorkeling.
Prayers for their entire family and for you all.
Jean Brewer, two prayers. Prayers for my sister, who's been in the hospitalized for about 2 weeks in Arizona doing tests. They really don't know what's wrong. And prayers for my sister-in-law, who's hospitalized in Buffalo with heart problems.
Prayers for both of them. One to the back. Go ahead, Whit.
Whit Beckett, prayers for my friend Dan, who's just started chemotherapy for lymphoma.
Prayers for Dan.
Sally Christensen. First of all, I want to say hello to all of you who remember Jill Bauer. I ran into her Saturday night in an event, and she's looking well. She and her son Dan were there. It's in the bulletin, but I got to get up. We have a new baby grandson. His
Yay.
Name is Zachary Richard. The family is doing wonderful. Joshua, he's got some adjusting, but he's doing fine. And now in this day and age, you have to wait till things are Facebook official. Now I can announce that our son Rob and his wife are expecting twins in October.
Yay!
So Steve and I will have 6 grandchildren under the age of 5.
Good luck, Grandma.
Good morning, Wayne Smith. A couple weeks ago, the building that my apartment is in was almost destroyed by fire. I'm happy to say that my apartment and 3 others were saved. We're not in there yet, but I'd like prayers for the other 12 families that were displaced. Move out started yesterday, and some lost everything. Some had no renter's insurance, so it's going to be a difficult time for them. And also just a prayers of thanks for the first responders. The apartment management company has been doing a wonderful job, and also for the folks here in GPC who have reached out and offered anything I needed to they would provide, so thank you.
Continued prayers.
I'd like to ask for prayers for people in a village in Guatemala that I haven't been to but been in touch with, and they have suffered through mining companies oppressing the people that protested the mines, and they had a bad setback in a criminal trial against a security guard who murdered somebody there. So prayers for them as they struggle with that. And also prayers for my mother, who's been in the hospital for the last 4 days. She is getting better, though, so we pray for continued health.
Sue Mancini. I'd like prayers for 2 friends of mine, Marilyn and Anna, who are both in in-house hospice at this time. I pray for peace for them as they end their journey, and faith and courage for their families as they go through it with them. Thank you.
Seeing any other hands, prayers from our children today, prayers of concern for mom who's in the hospital, prayers of joy for going to Grandpa Bill's and watching movies in 3D, prayers of joy for birthdays and an aunt's wedding celebration coming up. Let us continue our time of prayer. Compassionate God, we lift our palms of praise with those who first sang out, Hosanna. Like each of them, the hand that holds a palm has a heart that holds a story. Stories of pain and disappointment and sorrow. God, we pray for these hands, for these hearts, and the stories. Both the ones that we have shared here in worship and those that only you know. God, you came in humble obedience and walked the path of enduring love, even in the face of violent rejection. We long for your peace, and this morning we pray for those places in our neighborhoods, in our nation, and our world where violence continues to claim lives. Specifically, we pray for the people of Syria, South Sudan. Saving God, we trust in your goodness and believe your desire is for all of creation to be held in your redeeming love.
Send us out in your name to bring comfort to those who mourn, healing love to those who are sick, justice to those who are oppressed, and joy where there is celebration. God, as we go into this holy of holy weeks, we wait for your Spirit, and we pray to you using the words your Son taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Let us give with joy from the abundance that God has trusted to us. Let us receive the morning offering.
Yourself for others, we offer ourselves and these gifts as a sign of our hope in your reign. Where there is death, bring life. Where there is sorrow, bring joy. Where there is injustice, bring courage for change. Amen.
Give us the courage we need now and always.